I have waited a long time. We waited till I was 30 and Jasmine was almost 30 when we got married. And one of the things I looked for was I knew she would be a lot like her mom. And I wanted to see a mother that raised their children correctly. The last thing I wanted to do as a pastor, I was here 7 years single. The last thing I wanted to do was number one, get a wife that was a busybody and, you know, unspiritual. Secondly, was to have a wife then that would not raise our children correctly. And I know a mother has such an impact on the children. And today, I told her, I said, there's going to be a lot of moms, and especially younger moms, that need some encouragement and some instruction on how to raise children. And I can tell you, my children are not perfect. They're close, but they're not quite perfect. But they're not only good kids, they're godly kids. And that was our goal in life, was not just to raise kids that made good grades and good in sports and didn't get in jail and all that. That would be good kids. But we wanted godly kids, kids that went after God, kids that knew God on their own and for themselves. And so I'm going to tell you, even though I've had a big part in it, my wife's hand is indelibly printed on their lives. And I believe she's going to share her life and then what influenced her life and all. And I'm really looking forward to it. Why don't you give my wife a great welcome this morning as she comes.
Whatever you call it. Oh, I'm too loud. Okay. Anyways, if you think I'm not nervous, well, you're wrong, because I am nervous. Because it's a little bit different talking to just women. It's a little bit different talking to people you don't know. It's a lot harder talking to people that you live with week after week, day after day. So, but I believe the Lord has given me a message in my heart, and I'm going to share it. And I prayed that the Lord would give me clearness of mind and that I will just give what He will fill my mouth with. Because my mouth is filled with a lot of words. And I was sharing with the women. We had a tremendous time this weekend. By the way, if you missed it, you missed it. Because it was tremendous. And Carolyn's home, I asked her if we can rent it for, like, keep it for a week next year, because it was just too short. And she said yes, kind of. But we had ladies share that's part of our body here. And so it was just a wonderful time. We had gifts. We had time to just laugh. And I think some of them, and Janice included, were in the living room till maybe 3 or 4. I don't know. But I went to check on her to see where if she was asleep. And she was sleeping on the sofa, I think about 4 o'clock. Somewhere like that. So some of you were up with her, I know, because I could hear you. And it was wonderful because women were laughing. And I really believe the Lord said, we're going to relax, we're going to refresh, we're going to renew our minds, and we're going to, the Lord is going to restore us, and we were going to rest in Him. And that's what happened. My voice, though, it didn't rest very well, but it's okay. But I just wanted to say that was thank you to everybody that had a part this weekend. So, and the next thing is, I wanted to give God the glory this morning, and I'm going to sing. And it's, tu fidelidad el grande, tu fidelidad incomparable es, nadie como tú bendito, grande es tu fidelidad. If you know Spanish, don't correct me later, but this is, I'm learning Spanish, and I was in Costa Rica, and the most amazing thing is, before I left, I broke my collarbone. And they said at the hospital, oh, for a few weeks, I wasn't about to use my arms and everything, but Monday morning, Terry drove me to Baton Rouge Airport, and with a cover-up of things that they put around me, I went to Costa Rica. And you know what? I can raise my arms right now, and I can praise the Lord, and I better translate, because I learned that it's God's faithfulness. And that's what it is. Fidelidad is God's faithfulness in Spanish. And when Leah taught me that song, I said, Lord, that is all that I can talk about is His faithfulness. And He says His faithfulness is riches to the sky. It reaches to the clouds. And so His faithfulness this morning is so fresh and new that I want to talk about that. But the message the Lord gave me are for the grandmothers and the mothers that are here. And I'm going to talk to every woman that's here. Either you're a mom, either you're a grandmother, or you're a daughter, or you're a sister, or you're just a friend to someone. Because I believe that these things that I'm going to talk about is something that we all need in our lives so that we can be compelled to do more for God than ever before. And so the verse that I chose was from 2 Timothy 1:5. When I call to remembrance, Paul says to Timothy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first, he doesn't say your dad. He doesn't say your grandfather. He doesn't say in Abraham, Jacob, and Joshua, even though those were men that they always used to compare for examples. But the word of God here somehow is praising two women. Because when the Lord gives their names and they are in the word of God, we better take notice. And so the two names are Lois and Eunice. It says, your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded that is in you also. Let's pray. Father, I know that I can do nothing without you, Lord, because you taught me this week and last week over and over, I can do all things through Christ that is in me. And Lord, I pray for freedom. I pray for peace. I pray that my ears will be tuned to your Holy Spirit right now, Lord Jesus, that I will say only what you give me to say. And I pray that every heart here will be softened by your word and that your word will go forth and bring forth fruit. In Jesus' name. Amen. And so I'm going to talk about three mothers in the Word of God. Three of them. The first one is Moses' mom. And this weekend we found out her name was Jochebed. Isn't that cool? We learned the Word of God, and I didn't know that till this weekend because I hadn't put her name down. But Moses' mother's name was Jochebed. And she was an amazing mom because if you really think about it, they were killing all the moms, all the children, the babies that were born. In Exodus chapter 1, you will read, the children of Israel were becoming slaves in Egypt. And so the Egyptian king, Pharaoh, wanted to kill the babies. And so he had said every midwife that was there when these babies were being born to kill them. And so this mom must have had this baby in secret somewhere, and she decided to keep him. Not only was she breaking the law of the land, but she was doing something all by herself. Probably her husband probably knew about it, and some others, I would imagine. But she kept him. And then finally, she decided to put him in a basket and send him down the Nile River. Now, if you've ever been to the Mississippi River, I've told my kids, when we're driving by the, I don't know, Pontchartrain bridge or whatever, and I look to the right and to the left, and I see this big, I know it's a lake, but kind of reminds me of Mississippi River. I tell them, if I ever fall in there, don't worry. I will die of fear. Don't try to whatever, because even before I am hitting that water, I'm going to die of fear because I'm scared of snakes and things that swim in rivers. Anyways, I am, and the Lord hasn't released me from that fear yet. But, you know, to put your newborn baby, I mean, I was so protective of Jennifer that when people said, can we hold her? I would say, oh, she's sleeping now, or she's resting. She's like, I would hold her in church so people wouldn't ask to hold her. And some of you might have remembered that. But I was so protective of her. And, you know, to go to the river and to put her in a basket and to send her off, I don't think I would have been able to do that. I probably would have hidden her, and then they would have come and killed both of us, like Pharaoh would have sent and whatever. But she did something because I believe she prayed before she did that. And she believed that the God that she served was able to protect her baby, even though she was going to let him go into the river. And she put her little girl behind the bushes and said, watch him I don't know where she went. And she went back home, or she went somewhere, or she probably was in hiding. I don't know. But that baby was given back to her to raise to a certain age. And that reminded me, when I was studying that, that reminded me of my grandfather, because he was 13 when his mom was killed, massacred, and he became an orphan. And my grandfather lived till 91 years old, and he always served the Lord every day of his life. So I'm going to talk to the young moms here, that if you have a baby, or if you have a 2-year-old, you have a 4-year-old, you have a 5-year-old, I don't know, but a young child, whatever you're putting into your children today, they're going to walk in it when they are older. Even though the Lord says, train up the child in the way that he should go. And I know that's a whole different sermon, and I'll let my husband teach it. I am not a teacher. I'm just sharing this morning. So, but I know that there is a lot you can put into your children when they're young, because they will never depart from it. In their old age, they're going to remember what you taught them. And my grandfather talked about his mom till 91 and never swayed, never got away from it, because what he learned. So when Moses came back to live with her, which was another miracle, that, you know, Pharaoh's daughter didn't have servants to bring up this child, that she says, go get his mother. That was a miracle that the Lord answered that mom's prayers. Because I believe as she was sending that basket, she was saying, Lord, protect my child and somehow bring him back to me. That's what I would have prayed. And we think of these moms in the Bible and we say, oh, they must have been, you know, with halos on their heads or whatever. Guess what? They probably had to change their babies of diapers. They probably had to spank them on their behinds. Whatever. But they were moms, just like you and I. And so she probably prayed that, and the Lord answered her prayer, and she got her baby back till a certain age so she could teach him about the God of the children of Israel. And when she taught him that, the first time we hear about Moses after that, he is in the palace, he's being raised because she had to bring him back at a certain age. But the first thing he saw was two of them fighting. And guess whose side he took? That tells me he knew who he was. And he knew who God was. And so he killed the Egyptian against the Israelite. And so that was the first mom I was going to talk about. The second mom I was going to talk about was, and I love this one, it's Samuel's mom, Hannah. And we all know how she went to the temple, because she would cry, she didn't have a child, and she went also to the Lord. If we hear nothing else today, is whatever you're crying out to the Lord for, whatever you're praying for, whatever tears you're crying out, because my mom always tells me, the Lord has a bottle for each one of us, because there is a verse in Psalms, and he says, you keep my tears in a bottle. So every tear is not wasted. Like Rachel said, every prayer doesn't fall to the ground. The Lord hears our prayers. He sees our tears. And so everything you're praying for today, take it to the Lord one more time, one more time, one more time until the Lord answers. Be like that widow woman that kept knocking. And so the judge said, you know, let me just open this door and send her away, because she is getting to be annoying. And so just like that, the Lord said, I will answer your prayers. Call me in the day of trouble. I will answer you, and you shall glorify me. Because the whole thing is to glorify the Lord in everything we do. So when you're crying out to the Lord for something, go ahead and cry out, because he hears your prayers and he's going to answer in his time. This mother goes there. The priest thinks she's drunk, and I don't know how, because she's probably crying out to the Lord and just praying. But the Lord hears her prayer, gives her a baby, but she promises the Lord, before the Lord has given her her gift, she says, if you give me a child, I will give him to you. And for some reason, not for some reason, but I'm amazed that she didn't get around the promise she made and say, Lord, well, you know what? I'm going to bring him up for you. So I'm going to put him in this place and that place. But she really kept the promise all the way to where she took him to Jerusalem, which was far away from her house. And, you know, that's another thing. When you're sending your child away, it is a very difficult thing. I thought the hardest thing was to let Benjamin go to Tennessee. This year I found out Egypt was harder. Terry and I stayed up a long time that night when we knew he was in Egypt, and we couldn't do anything except pray. And so she sent him to Jerusalem, trusting the Lord that that son was going to be raised in the temple of the Lord to become, and he became one of the greatest prophets in the Word of God. And so Samuel was a prophet before the Lord because the mom prayed for him. And she would come once a year. She would bring him his clothes once a year, a little robe, because he was growing. And she would probably see him. But then the Lord gave her many other children after that. I always used to think about that because my grandmother, after she had Samuel, my dad, she had four more. She had four more, yes. So it was almost like that. They had six or seven children. I'm not sure right now. But the Lord blessed her. Because she believed, she trusted that the Lord was going to do something with Samuel that she was giving to the Lord. And the third mom that I want to talk about in the Word of God is in the New Testament, and that's the mother of Jesus. Somehow we think that she was the perfect mom that, you know, she didn't feel these things that we feel or whatever. That was a mom that believed the Lord as a young girl because she said, how is it possible that these things are going to happen to me? And the angel said, because the Spirit of the Lord is going to come on you and you're going to have a baby. His name is going to be Jesus. He will be a joy to many. Yes, he will bring salvation. But then when the baby was born and they went to the temple to bring the gifts of the new baby, the prophet there, Simeon, when he picked her up, the baby up, Jesus said, this baby will pierce your heart. One day, what's going to happen to this baby? The prophecy was amazing. And once she knew who this baby was going to be, she probably went and checked out all the prophecies. Wouldn't you have? I would have. If I knew my son was the Messiah and all these years they had said, when Messiah comes, when Messiah comes, when Messiah comes. So she probably went and found out everything she could about this baby. And at the same time, she believed God. More than that, I love when it says, and Mary kept these things in her heart. That's something that we need to struggle with, to do it. I struggle with that. Because many times whatever's on my heart is in my mouth, it comes out. And if you've been around me, I'll tell you everything. Well, almost everything. But I have to ask the Lord for wisdom because sometimes some things we need to keep in our hearts. When the Lord gives us some things, it's just for us and the Lord. And we have to wait for that to happen. And so I learned from Mary that she was one of those that really believed the Lord, stood firm with that, knowing what this child was going to be, loved her baby, and then watched him go on to be the Messiah. Had to let go because one of those days he walked out that door and didn't come back to sleep in his room anymore. But God had a purpose. Jesus had come to go to the cross first and then to be risen. For us today. But he was a son. And Jesus' mom was a mom, just like you and me. And so there are things in our hearts that the Lord has told us. Let's ponder on those things. Let's really trust the Lord to wait and ponder and keep them in our hearts and believe that the Lord is going to bring those things to pass if we trust him. If we trust him. Okay, now I'm going to switch a little bit and go into my own family. Because Jesus said, the Word of God said also that these things that were written were for our examples. And then the Lord brings people in your life. He brings mothers, grandmothers, sisters, daughters. He brings people into our lives to teach us about him and his faithfulness. And so the first person I'm going to talk about is my mom's mom, my grandmother. And her name is Mari. Well, she's alive today, but she's in heaven. She's in the presence of the Lord. But my grandmother loved the Lord. Now, she was also an orphan because her father was killed in the massacre. But her mom was spared. Somehow her mom was spared because she became the mother of 2,000 orphans. So my grandmother, Mari, who was 5 or 6 at the time, had to share her mom with 2,000 other orphans. So you can imagine she probably didn't know any different because she was in the orphanage just like all the other orphans. Because her mom, my great-grandmother was an amazing woman. My mom talks about her. And she was over, I think, like 200 other women that were serving in the orphanage. And so this little girl grew up. And my grandmother, I used to sit with her. She had a favorite window that she would sit there, and she taught me how to knit. So, and I taught Jennifer and Benjamin how to knit. He probably won't, you know, acknowledge this because, you know, he would come and I'd be knitting something and he'd want to do the next line. And I would think, okay, that line is going to really show and I can't take it away after he leaves the room, but I would let him. Because he would learn to knit it. And both of them learned to knit because of my great-grandmother, my grandmother, their great-grandmother. And I would sit at that window while she was knitting. She was the most calm lady. And I want to be like her, but I don't know what happened. But she never raised her voice. She was just as calm as can be. And she would advise me about things. And most of the time she would tell me, how to behave and how to talk to my mom and not to be, you know, whatever. Because I had 4 brothers and I was not perfect, believe me. And she would just talk to me. But everything she did is so gentle-like that I didn't want to break her heart. I didn't want to disobey whatever she told me that I had to go do. Or I had to ask someone to forgive me. Or I had to go do this and that. Because she did it in such a gentle voice. And she always advised me that way. She loved the Lord and she loved us grandchildren. And we loved going to her house. And I want to say, if you're a grandmother today, make your house a place where your grandchildren want to come. I just don't understand when grandparents or whatever, their grandchildren don't come to visit them. Because we wanted to go there. When mom left us with my grandmother and grandfather, they spent the whole time with us. They didn't have a TV, first of all, so they never put us in front of the TV. Or they spent the whole time with us. And we did a lot of things. We ate what we wanted that mom wouldn't let us, you know, get into. And I mean, they would just treat us like grandchildren that were loved. And they couldn't wait for us to go. And I still remember how she would stand in the balcony when we would arrive. And we were so excited to run up there to her house. And then when we were leaving, she would be up there. And we would wave till the car would go around the street. And I can still see it because I was there in January. But she wasn't there. But we spent time in her home. And it was just good memories. So make good memories with your kids, with your grandchildren. Yes, with your kids too. But a lot of times, I know it's hard. When you're the mom and you're trying to be the disciplinary and the loving one, and then you have to say no and if you have a son that's going to go to law school and he can argue with you about anything, he will wear you out because he will say, well, why? And then you come up with something, and now his favorite sentence is, that is not a good argument, mom. And he'll just say that, and I'll say, I don't care because I am not the lawyer you are going to be. So, I have my chance today. I haven't said anything about Terry yet, but I have my chance to say everything. So, anyways, but make your home as a grandmother a special place for your kids and grandchildren to come and to love to come. And then speak to them with a gentle voice and correct them. Tell them truth. Tell them you love them. Tell them the Lord loves them and that you're going to pray for them, that they will change their minds if it's not what you what the Lord has for them, then let the Lord deal with them. And so the second grandmother I was going to talk about, my dad's mom, and she was totally different in her personality. And she was a very strong woman, very small woman, but she was orphaned at 7 years old. Now, the hardest thing for me to really picture is what she would tell me was her brother, who was 2 years old, was in her arms when they came to massacre their family. And somehow the soldiers pulled away that two-year-old brother. And she always said, I know he's alive somewhere. But we used to think, what a horrible thing, because he probably didn't even know he was Armenian, because he grew up in a home that he was just stolen from another nation and whatever. But my grandmother was orphaned at seven, and the Lord preserved her life, and she was in the orphanage, and she got to know the Lord. And she said the first time she ever heard the Lord, about the Lord, was in the orphanage. She didn't know when she was growing up, under 7 years old. But she said when she found out, they gave her a Bible. And she said, every night I would go to sleep with the Bible on my heart, and I would just hold it there. And she said, every night I would sleep with the Bible, because she said, I didn't want to lose my Bible. That was my most precious gift that I had. So if you think I'm fanatic sometimes about the Word of God, it's because the people that taught me about the Word of God, that was the most precious thing that they could ever leave me. It's like that ring you have from a very precious grandmother. Or it's like a very precious gift that someone has given you, that every now and then you go to make sure that you have it, that you don't want to lose it. For me, it's the Word of God. Because that's the gift I got from my grandparents. And it is more precious than anything else. And so my grandmother was a prayer warrior. She just prayed all the time. And in fact, when I would spend the night with her, she lived on our mission, where we lived on this side of the buildings, and she lived on the third floor of another building. But I wanted to go spend the night with her, even though we saw her every day. She was there in the mission with the orphans and everything. My grandfather became he would go to the store in the city and buy all the things we needed in the orphanage. And this was the orphanage later that my dad started. But I would go to spend the night with my grandmother. And whenever I would go to spend the night, she would pray with me before I went. And I wanted to be in her bed, because I wanted to sleep right next to her at night. And she would pray, and I would fall asleep. She would be still on her knees, and I would fall asleep. I would wake up in the morning, and she was still on her knees. So for a long time, I used to think my grandmother never slept. Really, literally. Because I never asked her if she ever slept. I would just get up and she was still on her knees. She told me that she would get up every morning at 4 o'clock to pray. So I missed the time she would be sleeping. But I felt so secure, because she would be always on her knees praying. Until she was 96 years old is when she passed away. When you would go into her room, she would be on her knees praying. If she was out of the room, she would be on the sofa. There was a special place where grandma sat all day, and all the grandchildren would come by. We would go by my auntie's house, because we knew we could eat stuff there. And my auntie is just like my grandma. She would just serve you all day long and fatten you up, because she always thinks you're thin, which is so wonderful. But every time we would go, we wanted to sit around her, because she would tell us things that were precious. Just, we didn't forget things that she would tell us. Two things. One of the things that she would tell all of us grandchildren is when she got upset, and she would say, I'm going to say it in Armenia because it's just so amazing how she would say it. She would say, Astidzor shenorkin hantibis, which meant, may you meet God's grace. And the way she said it, we thought she was really being angry with us. And now my brother printed that, and we all have it in our homes. It's such a blessing. She would say, God's grace, may you meet God's grace. And the way she would say it is like, Astudoshin orkin antibis. And we're like, oh, grandma is mad about something. Because she would raise her voice. She wasn't like my other grandmother. But she loved us so much that she would always say, the last few years of her life, every time I would go to California, I wanted to be there, because I thought it was my last time I would see her. And one day she said, you know, and she said this over and over. She would say, Jesus is coming so soon. And so she would say, we need to be so ready. Jesus is coming. But the other thing that she would say is, When I go to stand before God, I want to have all of you. And I want to say, here is my family, every one of them, to meet the Lord. And I would say, yes, Grandma, we're going to be there. I mean, Mitch Mama, I would call her Mitch Mama. And I would say, we all love the Lord. And she would say, but I want every one of you to the last one. She was praying for us every day. She was naming each one of us. And then after we all had our children, the grandchildren, she would say, my name and all my family. The other, so she didn't remember all the way to the, because she had great children, grandchildren, and then she had great grandchildren, and she had then she had great grandchildren. So, but she prayed for everyone, and she wanted to meet the Lord and be proud of all of us that were there to meet the Lord. And the third, the last one, but not the least, that I'm going to talk about is my mom. And she is one of the most incredible women that I believe that I have ever met. This morning when I talked to her, she was just encouraging me. She's always encouraging me, always praying with me. We never say goodbye without her praying first. And she will give you a word that she's gotten from the Lord that morning. She just, it's almost like we, I was telling the ladies this weekend, I said, you know, when it's, or some of you, that when it's our birthdays, we have to say as many verses as we are our age. And my mom is 76. So when it's her turn, she'll keep going. So my brothers have to count how many verses. And then when she gets to 76 and she's going on, they'll say, Mom, you are at 70. And she'll just keep going because she knows as many verses as anybody that I ever know. And I know my grandfather was like that, but just watching my mom. And when I went in April to be there with my dad for his birthday, the first night we were there, Dad went to bed already. So I went and sat on the sofa with Mom because I knew what she was going to do. When she was 72 years old, this is incredible to me. When she was 72 years old, she learned the first chapter of Revelation by heart. In Armenian, she learned it by heart at 72. Now, I'm trying to learn verses now. I have learned so many verses when I was younger, but it's harder for me to learn a whole chapter. But I am trying to learn a verse at a time here and there. And in Costa Rica, I did learn one, and it was incredible that I could say it over and over and use it that day. But my mom learned the whole first chapter, and every night before she goes to bed, she sits there. And she says it, the whole chapter. So I went and sat by her and I said, I know what you're going to do. We had just turned off the lights and we were about to go to bed. And she said, yeah, I'm going to say chapter one of Revelation. And I said, Mom, I want to sit here and listen to you. Because for me, that is an incredible thing. Let your children know how much you love the Word of God. When they come in, let them see you reading the Word of God. When they're going somewhere, go out there and tell them over and over, and sometimes just say a verse that the Lord has blessed you with. And as they're driving away, you know, we always say, the Lord be with you. And they say, with you. And also we, and I have a friend that says, and also with you. So, but always bless them. When they were going to school, we would always say, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. And I would put their names there. Because for me, not only blessing them with the Word of God, but make it theirs. Make the verses you give to your children, make it theirs. So they know that when they are in a difficult place, they're in a situation where they know that they are seeking the Lord and asking Him to bless them, that they know they can claim that verse for their own. And this morning when we were singing about, I am redeemed. You know, Isaiah 43 says, I have called you by name. Child, you are mine. You are precious to me because I have redeemed you. And it's like the Lord speaks to you with his word. So teach that to your children. So my mom has been an incredible example because she loves the Lord. She loves God's word. She loves her family. And she loves everyone that comes to her. Last night they had visitors from Texas that flew in just for my dad to pray for their son. To lay his hands on him. He's 17 years old and he's going on the mission field. And my mom said, Denise wants to talk to you on the phone. And I said, okay. So she took the phone. She goes, Jasmine, your mom is so precious. I have fallen in love with her. And I was thinking, you know, that's how she is. She will give people that encouragement from God's word. Nothing of her words to say, you know, I'm so smart. Let me tell you something. She always gives God's word. So today, you are a grandmother. You are a mom. You are a sister. You are a daughter. Honor God's word more than anything. Let him be glorified in your life. Because in everything we do, let us bring glory to him. If Jesus said, I do nothing of myself, but I do everything the Father has told me to do. And we were talking, when Pepper was sharing her testimony this week, she was talking about God's word, the word of the Lord, and our testimony, we will overcome. Well, today, we can overcome anything with God's word and our testimony. What God has done for us is what's going to overcome the situation you're in. So start praising the Lord, give him glory, and don't take any of the glory for yourself. We're just like the candle, and he's the sun. So let him bring his light into a situation and give him the glory in everything you do. And that's all I have. But I would like every mother, grandmother, daughter, sister, and even friend, women friends, that will stand up, because I don't want the men to stand up. I want only the women to stand up here. And I know that there are young girls. That's why I said, friends, if you're here, young girls, I want you to stand up, because we're going to pray that as women of God, we are going to bring glory to the Lord in everything that we do. And so, Terry, you want to come in? Okay. Father, I thank you today. I thank you, Lord, because you are such a faithful God. Your mercy, Lord, reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the great mountains, Lord. And your judgments are deeper still. Lord, men, children of men, and today children of women that come to trust in the shelter, under the shelter of your wings, Lord. And these women right now, Lord, from the youngest to the oldest, Lord, I bless them with your name. I say, Lord Jesus, bless you today. The Lord make his face shine on you today. Let him bring his peace into your hearts. Let him glorify his name, his Father in heaven, through your life. And in everything you do, let him be glorified. And I pray a blessing over them today, Lord. Let them remember what you have done for them and share it with somebody else. And I pray that, Lord, Lord Jesus, I pray that in your precious name, amen.